Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome to it. Happy Monday, although not a great Monday after the Avalanche got throttled again last night.
Boy, that was a butt-whipping. Just a butt-whipping.
Well, they come back home. Okay. Game five.
All right.
Okay. As they always like to say, I mean, we even talked about this a little bit after game two. Hey, a series, if you're Vegas, you're consoling yourself with the idea that a series doesn't really start until the home team loses. Well, home team hasn't lost. Avalanche, it's your turn to hold serve. Scott Masters is our Avalanche analyst, and he joins us now. And Scott, I got to give you credit right off the bat. Clearly, you are doing your job because I've already been hearing from Avalanche fans who are like, you got to replace Scott Masters. It clearly isn't an Avalanche fan. He is always negative. Well, I'm actually looking for some blunt honesty from you this morning. How much trouble are the Avalanche in?
Oh, you want me to be blunt?
Like, yes. Blunt.
Yeah. Well, everyone already hates me, so I guess I
what do you got to lose?
Yeah. Well, they haven't looked good, right? They haven't looked good for the last nine periods, 9 out of 12. Sorry to be negative, Avs fans, but it's kind of showing its colors right now. The depth, I've said the depth is an issue for me, and it still is. MacKinnon in the top line has been fantastic all year. They're struggling now, of course, but what else is, there's no one else to help them. So if you put the lines in a blender and you mix them all up and you come out with something else, well, you take away from your strengths a little bit with that top line, which carried you all season long a little bit. And so it's a tricky situation for Coach Bednar now. And so I don't know the right solution. I don't have it, and hopefully Coach Bednar does.
Yeah, you know, I mean, one of the things that has been, I mean, to me, has just been blatantly obvious is how much better the Vegas Knights have been in the neutral zone, like creating turnovers, being on the Avalanche, not letting them skate free, creating opportunities in transition. It was almost like the first series against St. Louis, how dominant the Avs were in that situation. How do you respond to that if you're the Avalanche?
Yeah, in the first series, it kind of looked like Avalanche were just on a different level, right? A different competition level, just superior. And they were just always a little bit quicker, a little bit heavier on the puck. And it seems that it's switched opposite on this series. And Vegas is, maybe it's not the systems, but maybe they're just the quicker team and harder team in the neutral zone, in all zones, actually, right now. And I think for the Avs, they got it. I don't really think it's their systems or their plays or anything like that, as far as their X's and O's, but I see it as the competition level needs to be cranked up a notch. And I think, Mark, you say it is what happens when you get punched in the nose. They took a punch, and I think they've been wobbly since game two. They were like, whoa, I got punched. What do I do now? And I don't think Avs had the response to it that they needed to. So they need to take that punch, maybe get knocked down, which they have in the last nine periods, get back up and fight again.
All right, as a hockey evaluator with a number of NHL teams, as a scout working in front offices, you've seen playoff hockey, you've seen the ebb and flow of series. And the big cry coming out of game four is Jared Bednar has to make adjustments. And specifically, he's got to find a way to free up the Nathan MacKinnon line, get it away from that Stevenson line. How do you do that? Is it as simple as, hey, you're back home, you got the last change, no problem, keep them away from them that way? Is that the way to do it, or is there a different way?
Yeah, well, that's always the hard part, right? I mean, like, the matchups at home versus away, you're always going to, it's hard to keep up with that. It's constant movement, but that's what the NHL playoffs is all about a little bit. I don't have the solution, right? Like, I don't have the way to get Nathan MacKinnon free. I think he's skilled and talented enough to do it on his own. He's shown that in the past, but in the playoffs, he needs to do it now, right? Like, he's done it in the regular season, and the best athletes turn it up in the playoffs and in the championship games. And he needs to do that. I don't know if Bednar's needs to be on the hot seat for his play. I think McKinnon needs to step it up a little bit. And this is saying, like, I've always said he's the second best player in the world. He is. Regardless of if he loses the next two games, he's still the second best player in the world, in my opinion, and I would still go with him. His Avalanche future is so bright that the Avs fans can't get down on it and don't give me a hard time for it. But he needs to take reins of this team, and Landeskog too, and Rantanen too, and Makar, as young as he is, needs to do it as well. It's hard to rely on such a young player, but he's their best defenseman and one of the best players that's going to be in the next 3 or 4 years.
All right, Scott. Well, keep telling that truth, and we'll look forward to it. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Scott Masters, our Avalanche analyst, joining us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. I think that we've kind of lost sight of kind of what's important here. I don't understand why all the onus is on Jared Bednar.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it on the coach to suddenly figure out how to make life easier for Nathan McKinnon, Gabe Landeskog, Mikko Rantanen? You are arguably the best line in hockey. You have star-studded, Hart Trophy, MVP-type players on that line. How about we put the onus on them?
Yeah.
Why does it have to be on the coaches to figure it out? How about if these guys? Hey, we just watched Nikola Jokic go through a series in which I'm sure Portland was doing their darndest to try to find ways to slow him down. He didn't care. He just went out and played at an exceptionally high level. How about we just put the onus on the players?
Yeah, come out and play with some toughness, play with some grit. Which is always easy. One of the things I always say about like the NFL in general, Mike, when you fall out of a rhythm, like offensively, oftentimes it's very hard to get yourself back into a rhythm trying to throw yourself into rhythm. Sometimes what you have to do is, you know, small up, simple down, get physical and say, we're going to cram it down your throat for a while to get ourselves back into kind of this mindset, this rhythm, this toughness, this make you defend everything, so to speak. And I don't know. I like what Scott said. Sometimes it's not on the coach. Sometimes it's on the players to take it upon themselves and say, you know what? We're going to be the ones that are the difference makers.
That said, you know how I love to pick your brain when it comes to the, you know, the psychology of the athlete, you know, what you guys think, how you look at things. Did Jared Bednar make a big mistake after game 3? I want to bounce this off you next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Just had our Avalanche analyst Scott Masters on. What was the text you saw?
He's not a fan.
He's not a fan.
He's not supposed to be.
Yeah, not supposed to be.
Not how it works.
That's not what we got him on for.
Right.
All right.
You're right.
Jeez. I heard a couple.
If we wanted to interview fans, we'd open up the phone lines. Hey, give us a call.
Right. I saw.
Kick, stick, rock and lock. Yeah. Call us.
I know the people at state sponsored media get very upset when I call out state sponsored media, but geez, last night, Avalanche state sponsored media was in rare form, blaming the officiating. Oh, what about this call? Why wasn't this called? Look, if you've watched this series and you think this series has swung back to Vegas with the momentum because the Avs have been the victim of some bad calls, come on, you're doing a disservice to your fans, to your listeners,
right,
to your viewers. Come on now. Come on.
I mean,
come on.
You think about
it. Be honest. They're just getting beat right now.
Yeah. They're getting out-hustled to loose pucks. The 50-50 pucks always seem to go the night. That's not luck. That's, you know, anticipation. That's skill. That's whatever. That's want to, whatever it is.
And you notice that also when you are the aggressor, you tend to get the benefit of the calls.
Right. I will also say this. You know, one of the things that was a bit disappointing is early in that game, and I know there weren't a ton of shots, but every shot that was defended by Fleury had a rebound.
Yeah, he was a little jumpy early on.
And you know what? Every one of them rebounds, where was the rush? Where were the Avs to poke one of them rebounds back in?
After the side goal, none. I mean, that's how you got the side goal. He was right there, got a good bounce.
Little back door and pushed it in. But the bottom line was there were so many second chances on rebounds from
Marc-André Fleury.
Marc-André Fleury. There were so many rebounded pucks off of his chest. Like, and they were commenting, like, man, you gotta corral that puck. Yeah. You gotta suck that thing in. You gotta keep it on your
jittery. Bit jittery early on. They didn't capitalize.
And all those rebounds, man, there was literally, you kept watching it float around there. Like, why do we not have a guy on that? Why is there not somebody rushing after that shot, you know, to get the rebound? Because if rebounds are going to pop up, I mean, those things go anywhere. Like, that's hard for a goaltender to defend that. That's why they don't want those rebounds. So, like, that was another part of it that just bothered me last night.
Jared Bednar's our guy. We like Jared Bednar.
Yeah. I think his hair is a little unruly right now.
It did look a little unruly.
It wasn't as suave. No.
As I've seen in the past.
Maybe it needs to be trimmed back. Like, maybe it's got too much volume. Like, there's enough volume that it's kind of falling forward a little bit, and it looks, dare I say, disheveled.
He did look a little disheveled.
Yeah.
Could be the stress of the series. Right. You know, he's lost his cool a little bit.
Lost his cool hair.
He's not as dashing.
His hair was out of place.
Yeah.
It did bother me a bit.
Well, he's our guy, but did he make a mistake in calling out the team after their first loss of the playoffs after game three? He went scorched earth on his whole team save for two guys. And he clearly called out the MacKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen line. People who've been covering this team, our very own Adrian Dater, is like, you know, he just doesn't do this. Mm. This is completely out of character for him, at least to do it publicly. And the whole idea is that you can do this, but you can do it once. And it obviously backfired. I mean, it didn't get the desired effect. So did he make a mistake in going after publicly his players after their first loss of the playoffs?
You know, it really is interesting. And we've talked about this a bunch with Michael Malone. Understanding the players that you have. You know, have you been given permission to coach through your players? Have you been given permission? Do you have the relationship with your players where you can go scorched earth? I mean, he called his players soft. Professional sports, that's as bad as it gets, man. And when you do it publicly, like, it's one thing to sugarcoat it, you know, to the media, and another thing to scorched earth inside the locker room. But you need to have your finger on the pulse of your team, how they're going to react to that. And
so what does it say that he did not get? The desired effect. I mean, he did everything. He called him out.
Mm-hmm.
He did the team, you know, team meeting.
Yeah.
On Saturday in between games. It didn't work out.
Right.
So what does that say? That it tells me one of two things. Either one, he doesn't have his finger on the pulse of the team like he may have thought.
Mm-hmm.
Or the old line, you got to get the player's permission to coach him. Maybe he thought he knew. Maybe Michael Malone, whereas Michael Malone felt, hey, I am confident my players will respond in the right way, and they did. It says something about the Nugget players.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say about the Avalanche players that they didn't respond?
Right. Well, I would ask you this. After you go scorched earth on your players, do you really need to have another meeting? Or should that be up to the players? Because as Michael Malone said, thinking, how are your players going to react to you calling them soft? Look at the tape. We'll go watch the tape together. It's pretty easy. It's pretty apparent, right? And so it'll be interesting because now, I mean, it's 2-2. And as you always say, you know, the series doesn't start till the home game loses. You got an opportunity, I saw something yesterday, and remember in 2000 and 2001 in the Cup, they got beat 4-1 to go down 3-2, right?
Thought they were dead. Patrick Waugh then did the greatest bit of, I refuse to let my team lose goaltending in period one of that game against New Jersey. Adam Foote scored late in the period, and then everything changed. They end up winning the Cup. So things can change when it looks pretty hopeless. But back to Malone's done this before. This wasn't the first time he's called out his team, and they've responded. This was kind of the first time Bednar really went after him publicly. So the fact that, as a player, do you kind of get used to the fact that my coach doesn't do this publicly? So when he does do it for the first time, to the point where everybody's like, wow, that's unusual, does it throw the players off?
Obviously it could. I'm assuming it. I mean, you're just looking at, you know, for face value what you see, and it certainly looks as though it's throwing them off to a degree. But bottom line, as a player, and I've always believed this, regardless of what you call, regardless of how you call it, it's my job to execute. And, you know, bottom line is, the one thing that's unacceptable to me, just unacceptable, is to get out toughed.
Mm-hmm.
That, what I tell you, toughness is hard to find, it's hard to teach, and it's hard to beat. The Avalanche are being out toughed.
And just like Michael Malone said, am I lying? Am I making things up? Look at the tape.
Right.
And if you're the Avalanche players, if you're bothered by that, if your feelings are hurt, if your dauber's down because your coach came after you, did he tell the truth?
Right.
Does the film lie?
That's where the players need to, like, that's where McKinnon, that's where Landeskog, the captain, that's where the players need to have a little come to the Lord meeting and say, hey, you know what? He's 100% right.
This is on us. Yeah.
And so at some point, who are you going to be? That's a good question we should all ask ourselves. Who are we going to be in this situation?
Four down territory, the Packers Prez weighs in on Aaron Rodgers. What does he have to say? You'll hear it next.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I haven't.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing, you know, for the wide receiver group is we're learning. You know, Teddy's more of a timing thrower, you know, things of that nature. And then, you know, Drew's a gunslinger. So, but both of them are doing tremendously. You know, they're both doing great. So, you know, just getting to pick both of those guys' brains, you know, from a vet, still, you know, Drew's going to his third year. He's still learning, and we all still learning. But, you know, just to pick Teddy's brain and pick Drew's brain is pretty cool.
Clearly, I have a lot I can learn from K.J. Hamler, who just effortlessly says Teddy Bridgewater, and a lot to learn.
You do have a lot to learn. Because he doesn't have to go Theodore.
No.
Where we've restricted your access to Teddy.
Yeah, right now he's Ted.
Right, Ted or Theodore.
Or Theodore.
You can call him Two Gloves.
Because unless I really concentrate and slow it down, I can't handle
Teddy Bridgewater
and Teddy. Right now,
we all have our bugaboos.
Yeah,
kind of like bear traps.
Yep.
You know, we all
clearly
have
that's a bugaboo.
Yeah, that's a bugaboo for you.
Lanterns. Teddy Bridgewater and lanterns. All right. Where was it? What are we talking about?
What are we talking about? Thank you.
God.
Thank you. I need it.
I don't know. Benny.
I love this. Yeah, I don't have any idea what we're talking about.
Hold on, we gotta get to the hook here.
Paris, Munich, everybody talk about bop music.
Okay,
go ahead.
You'll be out at Broncos OTA today.
Indeed, I will.
Ace reporter,
yes.
Mark Schlereth, there on the hill watching what should be 11-on-11 football. What? Why is that important? They won't be hitting. Nobody's going to really be tackled to the ground hard. Right. So why is all of a sudden them going 11-on-11 such a big deal? Because they haven't done it yet in the spring.
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of things. It simulates, just from a body presence standpoint, with the pass rush and all 11 people on the field, it simulates what you actually see, how you diagnose coverage, how quickly you get the ball out of your hands, the timing, the accuracy that you have with those things. If you're late with the ball, it will show in those situations. So all those things. I mean, the more you can simulate and make it look real, the better off you are and the better learning aspect of football you have. So this is something that needs to happen, and I'm glad it's happening.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Oh, man, no, I'm out of there, man.
Ideally, where would you like to go?
Right now, I'm just, I want to win.
Okay. Yeah. We don't go to Dallas. If you go, you ain't winning in Dallas, Julio.
Nah, you already, man, listen, come on, man. You already know, I know.
Julio Jones. Probably not aware he was on national television there with Shannon. Julio Jones goes to the Titans.
Yes.
Did that surprise you?
That
the Titans, you know, they got Derrick Henry. They run the ball 40 times a game.
Think about what they have. That they have Brown. Now they have Julio Jones. The amount, with the way they run the ball, the amount of one-on-one covers they're going to get, I mean, for crying out loud. And Julio Jones, I mean, you know, albeit having some injury issues, yes, he's had some of those the last few years, but that dude's a tone setter, man. That dude is an absolute beast. And you know how I feel about wide receivers, right? They are the most dependent position in football in a game that's full of dependent positions, but boy, he makes them a heck of a lot better. And you know what this is?
Were you surprised by how little they gave up? A second round pick next year and a 2023 fourth round pick.
Yeah, well, that, but you're taking on all that. You know, you're taking on a huge cap, salary number.
Sure.
So that's as much Atlanta just trying to get that off
salary
their
dump.
Books.
Yeah.
Right, salary dump, exactly. So, but yeah, I mean, you want to talk about going to a place where you have a chance to win. Now, they've got some defensive issues that they've got to address, but I tell you what, that's a football team right there offensively. Control the clock, make big plays in the play-action game. And they're going to be damn. I mean, obviously, that puts them neck and neck with Indy, depending upon how Carson Wentz plays.
Next in four-down territory.
Down. I've got nothing to update Rob on that situation, and you guys all know how we feel about it.
Do you expect him to be here? It is mandatory.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see come Tuesday.
Cram it up your cram hole, LaFleur.
Hi, there's Matt LaFleur, Green Bay Packers president Mark Murphy, in his monthly column published on the team website over the weekend. Wrote, quote, "The situation we face with Aaron Rodgers has divided our fan base. The emails and letters that I've received reflect this fact." Interesting choice of words there. Why mention that this is something that is dividing the fan base? What are you trying to accomplish with that line?
I don't know. Is it to create marshmallows underneath the fan base when you let them down and he becomes a Denver Bronco?
See, like, I think it is kind of like, hey, look, we've got a divided fan base. We got half of our fans, based on the emails and letters I'm getting, aren't happy with Aaron.
Right.
Almost sort of greasing the skids for
what's
coming.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Give him a marshmallow landing, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be okay, guys.
Half of you don't like him anyway.
Right. I just feel like...
You done messed up, Aaron!
At every turn, I don't know, it feels to me like at every turn, they have screwed it up as an organization. Does it not feel like there's a certain amount of arrogance about, like, just about the way they've handled everything? And maybe you're just mad at Aaron. I, you know, that could be too. But It just feels like at every turn, they just have stuck to,
yeah.
Well, we're the Packers, and we don't have to, you know.
And everything they're saying about is sort of like, here's the comment. As I wrote here last month, we remain committed to resolving things with Aaron and want him to be our quarterback in 2021 and beyond. We are working to resolve the situation and realize that the less both sides say publicly, the better. Again,
I could resolve it pretty quickly. We're working to resolve it. Hey, Brian Kuter, Crinson, it's really been good knowing you.
It doesn't sound like they're really committed to making this work. All right. Third and long, we're going to punt.
The King is here.
Thank you, Marquette. Coming up, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. You'll see him out at Broncos OTA. We'll get his thoughts on that. Plus, Nuggets, Suns, game one tonight. Do the Nuggets have the experience advantage? And how much of a difference will it make? We'll talk to Troy next. Troy Rank is our Denver 7 insider. Presented by ROX Roxy and Air. No doubt bummed out that Motley Crue will not be coming to Coors Field this summer, along with Def Leppard. Poison. I was really looking forward to getting backstage to see Poison, since you're buddies with Bret Michaels.
And what happened? Poison's not coming?
They had to call the concert off again.
They did?
Yeah, Vince Neil can't sing, apparently. Apparently he was doing a show the other day, and he like got about 15 songs in, and he just said, sorry, folks. Voice is gone.
He's fat?
And he is a little fat, too. He is out of shape.
Diabetes. Yeah, you gotta work at it. I tell you, Bret Michaels is.
Oh, he looks great.
He's ripped.
Even Axl Rose is sitting back and going, oh, Vince, you really let yourself go.
Right.
All right.
That's too bad.
I know that Troy Rank is bummed out, right? You bummed out?
I know some folks are going to that. I don't know that I was actually going to go, but that stinks for folks that I know had tickets. So, dang it.
Well, they pushed it back to 2022.
To see him.
Yeah, they pushed it back to 2022. So there's still hope. There's still hope that this thing can get figured out. Do you still have hope for the Avalanche? Seems like a lot of people are jumping off the bandwagon. I think we need to remind people it is still 2-2. Or does it feel like it's not 2-2?
I mean, it would be different if they were going to play Game 5 in Vegas. I would be dismayed if I were an Avs fan. Coming back home, chance to get momentum, get things right. 2-2 is not the issue. It's the fact they've been outplayed, outshot, and their top line just cannot get opportunities. That's the issue. You know, you can't sit here and rely on Grubauer to take 2.5 shots to every one you give and win games. But because they're coming back home, you know, see if you can figure it out. And it's just these last, since the second period of game two, it's been a bit of a mess.
You know, Troy, when Michael Malone essentially came out and called his team soft, they responded to that, right? They did a really good job responding. Since Jared Bednar really went off on the Avs, it does not seem that they had the same effect. Is there something to it? Is like, what do you know about the way he's handled his team and why his team hasn't seemed to be able to respond?
Well, it's a lot easier for the Nuggets to respond against Portland because they don't play defense. I mean, that's the reality of it. Portland is the definition of an NBA finesse team that does not play defense. So when you get challenged to play hard against Portland, it's really just an effort issue at that point. The Knights are a physical, rough, tough team. So when you call your guys out, we need more from the front, you know, front and top lines. That's true. But the Knights make that difficult. They're just really physical. They pinch gaps. They're trying to win every loose puck. They're just a different team. So you knew last night, I wasn't surprised at all. He said, hey, the effort looked good. I thought we did a lot of good things because you can't. He's watching the same games we are. Last night wasn't really about effort. It's just Vegas is a really difficult matchup. They're a boxer. Like when you get in the ring, you're like, dang, man, this guy, it's hard to hit him. He's, you know, and that's the issue they're running into. So I don't think it's a Bednar issue. It's just in the regular season, the Avs won four. They went, 4-3-1 against Vegas? And it was a similar type games we saw. I mean, it was just, it's a difficult matchup. These teams should be meeting in the conference finals, not in the second round.
Visit with Troy Rank. All right, Troy, I think we've built the Lakers up to be such, you know, the boogeyman, that the idea that they're gone and the Nuggets are getting Phoenix instead almost feels like a, you know, a victory, that it, that somehow the path now is easier. Do you look at it that way?
I mean, the Nuggets would have beaten the Lakers this year the way the Lakers are playing. I mean, they just were compromised when the injuries to Anthony Davis and then LeBron playing with his ankle issue. The Lakers can't score. I mean, they had two guys who can score because Schroeder just became a ghost. So this spring, as odd as it sounds, it would have been easier to go through this summer, go through the Lakers. The Suns are beatable because they haven't been here in like 11 years. This is new ground to them. Chris Paul is playing out of his mind. Devin Booker is their version of Lillard. And they've got Ayton, a guy who can guard Jokic. It's a tough matchup, but they are beatable. I mean, you've got to just, you've got to prevent Chris Paul from controlling the tempo, controlling the game, and make other guys on that team make shots. Devin Booker, he courts that fine line of playing with emotion and being emotional. He'll get into it with guys, and if you can play defense on him and force him into difficult shots and force him, be physical with him, I think you have a chance to win this series. But Phoenix is just the better team than the Lakers this entire year. And I mean, if LeBron and AD were healthy, no, but they weren't healthy, essentially. So it's a good matchup. It's a very winnable matchup for the Nuggets, but you can't be dropping home games. You can't do that like what you did against Portland, because Phoenix right now is just a hotbed of fans, man. You don't want to have to try to go win games there.
Transitioning over to the Broncos, going to be out at OTAs today, supposed to start 11-on-11. What should we be looking for when it comes to 11-on-11 drills that they're supposed to run today?
Yeah, I mean, again, we don't make too much because of the fact it's June, but what do the quarterbacks look like in 11-on-11? It's much more of a realistic scenario. You know, I think Drew, a couple weeks ago, played pretty well, and Teddy was learning the offense, and then the last time we were out there a week ago, Teddy, or whatever it was, 6 days ago, Teddy looked better than Drew, clearly. So where are they at? I do think you can leave OTAs, and you've lived it, Mark, with an idea as a coaching staff if somebody's ahead. This idea doesn't matter. That's not true. You're always being graded. The eye in the sky doesn't lie in the NFL. You're constantly being graded. And I think it's important to know where these quarterbacks are when you leave in June. That it's not, oh, fresh start, now we are camp. No, this stuff matters. And so if a guy has these next six practices, a quarterback plays well, he could be slightly in the lead. Whether they announce that or not, I don't expect them to. But keep an eye on that. Where are we at right tackle? Again, I give the advantage to Massey, at least initially. So I want to see what that line looks like. Garrett Bowles, I don't think, will be there this week. He'll return next week as he deals with a family issue. But I want to see what Massey looks like. And I want to see Pat Surtain because he's going to play. Pat Surtain is going to play a lot, and he's going to play a lot early for this Broncos team this season.
All right, Troy, great stuff. Mark, we'll see you out there. You guys can compare reporting notes. Thank you.
Exactly.
You got it, guys.
Thanks, Troy.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. He is brought to us by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. We got question mark coming up here in just about 7 minutes. You got a specific question you want to get in? Hit us up on the Ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Go hashtag question mark. That always helps you get to the near the front line. But if you go hash brown, send it to the internet, you go right to the front of the line.
My granddaughter sent home with my wife when she went out to visit my granddaughters, and my grandson sent home a Cobra Kai t-shirt for me.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Season 4 is done, by the way.
When will
it's coming out.
Oh.
I don't know when it's on, but... Yes, very
It doesn't matter because you just download, you just watch it on your interwebs or whatever.
Binge.
Yeah, you just kind of cruise through it.
That's right.
Can't wait.
Before we go any further, we had so much fun with this. This was fun. So you brought this up. Why don't you set it up?
Well, I mean, on TNT the other day, there was some guy, I don't even know who this guy is, but he does a Charles Barkley, just random Twitter dude, does a Charles Barkley impersonation, and it was, I just thought it was hilarious, and so they played it for Charles on TNT, and Charles thought it was hilarious, and you know how Charles is, I mean, he's just rambling about this, that, and the other, and getting names wrong and stuff, so.
So, it's Danny Ruhier, he's a radio host and comedian,
And Charles Barkley, who now, you know, Frank Caliendo does an amazing Charles.
Yeah, oh, sure.
You know, Charles is, you know, becoming.
He's one iconic,
of those
man.
Iconic. You know, people love to do impressions of Charles Barkley. So this was this guy's impression of Charles Barkley that they played during the broadcast, and Charles got a kick out of it.
That's the first half analysis. The half of basketball was played. That's not the whole game. That's half the game. Damon Lillard, he did a step back, but he stepped forward, and then he moved back. He went back about 25 feet. That's probably that travel, but they're not going to call it. Michael Junior Porter, he made a bunch of shots. Nikola Jokic, Joe Kitchen, he's tall. And Nikola Jokic or Jimmy Joe Jokic, didn't foul nobody. That was something. That's a good half of basketball between Portland and Cleveland. Back to you, Ernie.
Portland and Cleveland. That's just classic.
That was good. That was really good.
Very funny. Very funny.
Frank Caliendo sitting back going, okay, yeah. I'm going to have to
Jimmy Joe Jokic.
I'm going to have to respond.
Jimmy Joe Jokic.
Michael Junior Porter.
Michael Junior Porter.
He's tall.
It is beautiful.
We love the tall comments, right?
Right.
Can't get enough.
He's tall.
He's tall.
That's obvious.
That was good.
As a team, we're getting tall.
Yeah, tall's good. Although you think if tall mattered so much, Paxton Lynch would have been better.
Oh, 22-13.
Now you thought with Ben being gone for a few days that when you got back you'd be able to convince him that we got to 3,000. Even yeah, he left it was like at 22-09 or 22-08. So I think we're at 22-13 now. I don't
nestled,
think I know.
Nestled right up against 3,000.
No, ways to go. On the RamosLive.com text line, as Mike Tyson once said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. The Avs appear to have been punched in the face.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
Right. That is a good, that's a great text. You're right.
I broke my back.
Yeah. Everybody. It's like the guy who said, I play for free. Not once they start hitting you, you won't play for free. Like, it's vicious out there. And it's the waves. I think that's a great analogy, man. You get punched. How do you respond to getting punched in the face?
And I would hope that this is something.
Someone's going to get bit.
I would hope that this aggravates the stew out of the Avalanche, because this has been sort of the narrative surrounding the Avalanche for the last several years, is that this is a finesse team. They're exciting. They're fast. But if you get into them a little bit, if you lean on them, if you put some resistance in their way, they'll sort of back down. Play a little soft. Ugh. That's a tough label to carry around, being soft. I mean, is that what we've seen? Is that the best way to describe what you've seen the last eight periods? Have they just simply been soft?
I don't know that soft. Because they're not it's not like they're afraid to get in the corners. It's not like they're afraid. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon got one of the big hits of the game.
Right. But then explain this to me. If this is a team that all of us agree is a lightning fast skating team, right?
Right. Why do they not look lightning fast?
Why do they not look lightning fast? Why does it look like they are getting beat to every puck? Every 50-50 battle is going Vegas's way. Why? If you get a fast team,
right,
but they don't look fast, why? Their anticipation is just a little bit off? They're just not reading things correct?
They're just not used to having to play that way. Like, where this is the style that Vegas wins games with, this is not necessarily the style that has been forced upon the Avs to play. You know what I mean? Like, that's their, like, I always talk about this in the NFL. There are certain teams whose players and whose scheme just match up well against you, even if you're the more talented team. Just the way they match up against you is it makes it difficult. And so you'll play a team in which, like, you're clearly, if you go down, you know, like we do sometimes, like confidence, like a confidence rating. Hey, if it's, you know, this player and this, quarterback versus quarterback, O-line versus O-line, like that, where's your confidence rating? One team will outweigh another, and yet from a matchup standpoint with those players and those schemes, they just, like, you never get the better of that team. And that's almost how I feel. Like, this is the way Vegas always plays, so they don't have to adjust. This is who they are, whereas the Avs have to adjust. And right now, from an anticipatory standpoint, from, you know, finding pucks on the, like, I can't tell you how many times they got in a one-on-one battle on the boards, and it always seems to come out Vegas is, yep. You know, Vegas gets it on their stick, and all of a sudden they're in transition. And it's not going the same way for the Avs.
This is KKFN and KKFN, HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.